Okay, good morning and welcome to the Lamprell 2013 results presentation. For those that don't know me, my name is Jim Moffat. I'm the Lamprell CEO. The young lady over to my right-hand side there is Jo Curran, our CFO. The format for today is I'll present some opening comments. Jo will then present our numbers. I'll then talk through the operations review of the year and the conclusions from our strategy, and then provide some details on the outlook and summarize where we are going forward, and then we'll conclude with a question and answer session. Before I even start, this picture up here I wanted to share with you is the Nexen Golden Eagle project. It's not due to leave the yard for about another month. It's probably still relatively easy to see. You'll see that there's next to no scaffolding on it. The project is complete. It's all tested. It's all identified. We had the partners came through the other day, and even by their admission, they were on just the jolly to come see the platform before it left. So it's a very nice compliment. We've gone for 9.5 million man hours without recording an LTI on that project, which is truly world class. So, I guess when I stood here last year at this time, I was 3 weeks into this assignment. We had come through a pretty traumatic 2012. Peter Whitbread, who'd had the helm for about 3 or 4 months before I took office, had done a great job in sort of staunching the bleeding, but we were certainly still in a pretty difficult place. Today, 1 year on, we're presenting a significantly healthier picture, and I'm pleased to report that we've made solid progress on all fronts in the last 12 months. My mantra when we talked about a year ago was back to basics, and essentially what I meant by that, as I'm sure you're all aware, was going back to the things that we did well. You know, we'd lost confidence of the markets, clearly. We'd lost confidence of our shareholders. We'd lost confidence in our workforce. You know, a workforce that for 30 years had performed steadily and continued to have profitable years had suddenly slipped and stumbled. And it is a bit offsetting. Anyway, 12 months on, we've steadied the ship, as you're about to see, and we're ready to move on into, I think, a pretty optimistic future. Regarding the specifics of this slide, obviously we have returned to profitability. I think everybody's seen the numbers this morning, but Joe will talk that through in a bit of detail. I wanted to make a bunch of organization changes. I brought one or two people with me from my previous assignment, but over the course of the year, we've strengthened that up that organization considerably. Most recently, I've added a CCO, a Chief Commercial Officer, a guy called Carl Roberts, who I worked with from about 2002 to about 2009. There was about a year in the middle where I went down to Brazil and he didn't, but Carl and I know each other well. He brings a good, solid balance, and I'm looking forward to working him to strengthen up the team, or with him to strengthen up the our winning profile going forward, and some of our estimates. Our performance in the year has been very solid. We'll talk about a little bit more detail when we get to the operational section, but our safety has been excellent, our quality has been excellent. And these are the things that attract the tier one contractors that I'm desperate to get to. We have implemented our strategy. We've been able to pick some of the low-hanging fruit. We've made some savings in synergies through procurement efforts in particular. but I think there are some pretty significant further opportunities in efficiencies and productivities that we've yet to gain. We have a very strong pipeline of bid work. Again, I'll talk to that in a little bit more detail going forward. But while we had a lot of bids last year, and on the surface the bid pipeline looked a similar number, I think the reality of life is a lot of clients were out just inquiring for pricing, whereas I think now they truly are looking at projects. Obviously, in the last summer, as we reported at the H1 results, we completed the refinancing. And one of the things that I also told you last year was that we were going to divest ourselves of our non-core businesses, primarily these little service businesses. Again, just to remind everybody, when we add up all of those service businesses, they equate to about half of one jack-up. So they're not really material in our overall business plan. They are, to us, an opportunity. They're a little bit of a distraction. They are good little businesses, but I think they need to be grown by someone else. So we've now sold the first of those businesses, InSpec. The prerequisite is we don't need to give them away. We'll continue to work them hard, but if the right price and the right opportunity comes along, then we will sell those businesses, and we have done so with InSpec. So this summarizes everything. So I'll hand over to Joe to talk through the details of the numbers. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning, everyone. When I look around the room, I see quite a few familiar faces, hopefully friendly ones. So I do think I've met most of you, but just as a reminder, I joined Lamprell last October, so I've been in place now just under 6 months, and it's been a fairly busy 6 months. I have to admit that I can't take a lot of credit for the encouraging results that you'll see today. They are largely attributable to the man on my right, and of course my hard-working colleagues. Jim took some very early actions when he joined the business, and you will see the results of those later in my slides. My focus in the last 6 months has been on building a stronger future, further advancing Jim's initiatives on strengthening controls and reporting, including the new ERP system, the bidding process, and rolling out more focused KPIs to drive improvements across the group. And importantly, to identify strategic initiatives that will drive future earnings growth. Jim will also talk to you more about those today. Clearly in 2013, our financial performance improved significantly over 2013. And today, I'm going to take you through some of the moving parts in 2013 and then conclude with a few remarks on the future. So turning now to the numbers, starting with the P&L, the most important feature is that the business returned to profitability after the significant losses recorded in 2012. In fact, expectations were revised upwards throughout the year as our project execution continued to improve and we were able to release project contingencies held against EDC 1, Jindal 1 and NDC 3 as we successfully delivered those rigs. We also benefited from material increases in scope in one of our offshore projects. In terms of the key numbers, continuing revenues were up 6.4% to just under 1.1 billion. Gross profit was 115.3 million. The margin of 10.6% was driven by a good mix of higher margin North Sea revenues, partially offset by nil margin revenues associated with the completion of the problem projects. Operating profit was 52.9 million, and net profit was 36.4 million versus losses of 111.2 million last year. Other things to note, there was 8.4 million of exceptionals, which relate to the refinancing of the group's debt facilities in July of last year. We also successfully delivered on one of our key strategic initiatives with the sale of InSpec, one of our services businesses, for 66 million in March. This business, as you can see from here, contributed 5.7 million of profit in 2013. We have also highlighted on the slide the profits arising from the ongoing businesses of 39.2 million. This is before exceptionals of 8.4 million that I previously referred to. So what drove these improvements? The bridge you see in this slide is for the net profit from 2012 to 2013. The impact of the legacy projects can be clearly seen here, some 116 million. In 2013, we completed the second wind carrier, EDC-1, and made good progress on EDC-2 without additional losses, meaning 2013 was not impacted further from these problem projects. I talked earlier about the early actions that Jim took when he first came to the business. I think probably as early as March, Jim, you set out a KPI, a corporate KPI, that focused everyone on a reduction in overheads of 10% across the business. And what we see here in this 25 million is the result of that. In actual fact, we took out 17% of the overhead cost. And that indeed, as you can see, was a main drive, one of the main drivers to our profitability this year. Excluding the 8.7 million of exceptional costs relating to the debt refinancing, our finance costs were 8 million lower, principally due to a lower level of average debt. These favourable factors were offset by a slight increase in exceptionals and other costs. That's the 8.7 less the exceptional last year, which was the FSA fine, which was slightly low. It was 4 million or something like that from memory. So net-net, the profit for the year was 36 million. Adding back the exceptionals and excluding InSpec rebases this profit to 39 million, which I highlighted on the previous slide. You should note that going forward, this number needs to take into account the lower interest costs due to the pay down of Tranche B, which has now occurred subsequent to the sale of InSpec. I'll correct myself there. We didn't pay down the full amount, so we paid down 50 million of Tranche B. So turning now to the balance sheet and our cash position. The group's liquidity has improved significantly in 2013 with available cash, which we define as cash plus unused revolver, less the cash held against bonds, increasing to nearly 300 million from just under 150 million last year. The strong uplift in EBITDA and release of short-term deposits due to the completion of a large number of projects, as well as positive movement in working capital and a tight rein on CapEx, helped drive the strong performance. Overall net cash at 31st of December was 183.8 million. We talked at the interims about us being in a sweet spot on cash. And coincidentally, we were in the same place at the year end. Around 75 million of this cash was milestone payments from customers ahead of costs. And as expected, this has started to unwind since the year end. To give you some further guidance, our net cash position is currently 179 million. But you should remember we have repaid 50 million of debt since the year end. So effectively, our cash is unwound by that much. If we now look more specifically at our borrowings, you can see that our debt has continued to reduce since 2011. I'm sure you'll all be aware that the group refinanced its debt in July 2013 with a $181 million facility, with a maturity date out to July 2016. Which provided a stable platform for the group at that time. This included a revolver of $21 million, which was undrawn at December. The sale of the InSpec services business resulted in a mandatory repayment of $50 million of Facility B, which is the high-cost portion of the secured debt facility. This leaves the group today with current debt of $110 million. The loan agreement requires a repayment of $55 million of Tranche A this year over three installments, starting in June. Although the current facility was a good outcome for the company given our financial position at the time it was negotiated, it was only ever intended as a medium-term solution. Our core businesses, comprising of large capital projects with long build schedules, can often require funding flexibility. Now that we have a stronger financial base, we are actively exploring longer-term options to better support our strategy. So to conclude, 2013 was a very important year for the group, and we were pleased that we can today report a return to profit. Jim will talk to you more in depth about our order book and pipeline, but in summary, we secured just over 750 million of new orders last year, and we entered 2013 with a backlog of 900 million versus 1.3 million billion at the end of 2012. We are currently 80% secured for 2014 and typically have around 150 million of walk-in business. So from where we are today, we would expect this year's revenues to be marginally lower than 2013. Given our current bid activity, we would expect 2015 to be flat on 2014. We were pleased with some of the efficiency savings we made in 2013, and in 2014, we will benefit further from synergy savings resulting from high activity levels in Hamria, as well as further refinement of our overhead costs. Jim will share the details of a further operational improvement program we have recently kicked off that is expected to result in material improvement in margin in 2015. And finally, we are now focused on ensuring that we have a strong financial platform in place to deliver our strategy. In addition, the board will continue to review the dividend policy, albeit this will remain restricted until Tranche B is fully paid down. With that, I will hand back to Jim.
Thanks, Jill. Clearly, with that sort of financial performance, we've obviously operationally had a very good year. Currently, all of our projects are progressing well. They're on target from both a schedule and cost perspective going forward. In fact, I believe a couple will potentially achieve early completion bonuses that we've negotiated with some of our clients. I think this has been a great team effort. I'm really pleased with the efforts. I think we've made some great strides in project management. We've had some great movements in operations. We've been well supported by the admin teams and, of course, the workforce that deliver this in the first place. During the year, we completed seven major projects. We finally got rid of the Fred. Olsen Wind Carriers earlier in the year. We completed three jackups, one for Greatships, one for Jindal, and the first one out in the Caspian, EDC-1. We completed three North Sea projects: Jasmine for ConocoPhillips, the Golden Eagle wellhead for Nexen, and Lagan Tormore, which was a project that we completed for Petrofac. We also completed a total of 22 rig refurbishment projects. We currently have six jackups under construction, six rig refurbishment programs, and three offshore construction projects, and one lift boat under construction today. We've received a number of accolades from our clients. You know, as we've talked about repeatedly, client satisfaction is an absolute fundamental for our success going forward, and I'm pleased to say we are getting high degrees of client satisfaction going forward. We had an incredibly good year safety-wise. We completed 33 million man-hours and only had three lost time incidents. To kind of, you know, 33 million rolls off the tongue pretty quickly, but that's 11 million man-hours between each lost time incident. If we work on the basis that people work roughly 2,000 hours a year, you know, you guys work longer than that, but 2,000 hours a year and 40 years of work is equivalent to 150, almost 150 lifetimes of work between accidents, which is really, really good. Our group repair rate is down about 1%, which again is truly world class. Our overall recordable rate has gone down by 22%. And these are the things that are attracting clients. You know, we had a visit recently from Chevron. You know, I don't think we were ever on Chevron's radar screen, but they came to our yard and told us that one of their messages was that because of our safety statistics, they were really now considering companies like Lamprell to build for them going forward. The market, there's clearly a number of sensitivities in the market. I've been in this market for a long, long time. There are events that go on all the time. I still believe right now that the market is very favorable for Lamprell. Clearly, there's a lot of opinion out there. I think the clear facts that everybody can align behind is the world demand for energy continues to rise. It's becoming tougher and tougher to find these energy supplies, which means that companies need to drill more and more and more structures, more and more wells, rather, to get there, and require more and more structures to actually develop those things. We all read about oil company capital expenditure reductions, and unquestionably that's happening. I'm sure if anybody read the FT a couple of days ago, there was a big article about Exxon and Chevron and their comparable spending, you know, which one's right. The truth of the matter, however, is when you look at most of those capital reductions, they're either in the Arctic or in deep water locations or in drill ships, or some of the real leading edge technologies that the offshore business has. Lamprell isn't in any of those businesses. You know, we're in the plain vanilla league, and the plain vanilla league unquestionably is very strong at this moment in time. The competition from the Far East is unquestionably still there. I don't think that's ever really going to change. Clearly, we've had stiff competitions for our entire history from the Singaporean yards and Korean yards. The Chinese yards, I think, they're about to hit an interesting period. There are a lot of rigs that should have been delivered last year and haven't been. Those that have certainly have a quality question over them. A lot of the rigs that are currently about to be delivered are being delivered for speculators. They don't today have homes to go to or contracts to go drill. So I think there's going to be an interesting dynamic in that situation going forward. Nonetheless, despite those conditions, what we are seeing is an increased activity from lots of the drilling companies. We have a number of bids outstanding at this point in time. Our bid pipeline is very strong. Last year, we did see, as I said in my opening comments, we did see a lot of inquiries. We did see a lot of bidding activity. But I think the truth was that most people were out just trying to find out pricing regimes. In the last 2 months, we've submitted about a dozen what I would call serious bids, all the way across the spectrum for jackup rigs, for offshore platforms, onshore platforms. We've even submitted one LNG bid, and we think we're still in the running on all of these projects. In fact, as we speak, we're the only man standing in three major projects going forward, and the decision to award to us has just driven us to whether that project will go ahead or not. So I think we're still in a fairly positive position here going forward. We completed our first cut of our first strategy review. This was something that was fairly novel for Lamprell, to be honest, but we ended up having a series of workshops in September and concluded with an offsite in October. And I think it was quite enlightening as to what we discovered. We really broke the concluding strategy into three sort of fundamental levels. The first one is we called the ticket to the game. And really what that established was a sort of overarching strategy to look at all of our businesses, to look at the things that we, you know, that I think there's been a culture that we we have a fairly low cost man hour. So if it costs us an extra man hour or two to complete something, gosh, does that really matter? Well, the answer is obviously it does. And so we've really taken on a renewed focus in trying to drive down our productivity, albeit that our costs are low, but to drive down our productivities and improve our efficiencies going forward. We've appointed a team to go look at this under a project director. We've taken one of our yard managers as part of that team and bolstered it up with some engineering and planning resources and procurement resources. And what we're really trying to do is build on the synergies that we have in a multi-project environment. As I said at both the H1 and when I stood here a year ago, Lamprell has classically run its projects as if they were silos. And so when you look at a project that may be $100 or $200 million and you want to make some capital expenditure, it's very difficult to justify. When you start to look across the group as a whole, it's much, much easier to justify. So what we've done now is we start to look at this level here, our existing businesses that we need to strengthen, what we're trying to do is come up with synergy savings across the group so that we can buy across projects, look at how to build across projects. So we're not building an assembly line. Our yards don't really lend themselves to be assembly lines, but we are laying things out in our yards, looking at our yard flows, to enable us to move the workforce from one common area of work to the next common area of work and the next common area of work, so that we can get lessons learned and synergies of scale. We can look at building jigs and fixtures once and then reusing them in multiple projects. And we think there are lots of opportunities to go. In this arena, one of the things that we've looked at here are subcontracts. You know, again, we've tended to go out and bid on a subcontract by subcontract basis going forward. And clearly these guys have to bid, but they bid on the basis of mobilization costs and demobilization costs. If the answer is that we were going to bid on the basis of doing all of our work, we think there are some much greater opportunities going forward. And these are things that, as Joe touched on, we think we can realize in 14 and 15 going forward and really make a step change in our costs. What we're trying to do in this arena, although this is more of what I'd call conventional business, it gets a little less conventional as we come along to this end. But we're trying to increase our addressable market. We're trying to get more clients, more tier one clients. We're looking to get clients that value safety, quality, schedule, all of these things that we consistently deliver in our performance. So in this, we're looking, obviously, this is our conventional business. We're looking here to broaden this into modules and topsides, both onshore and offshore. As we talked about, this is probably the wrong way around, but we have had a history of building FPSO topsides. We've built 18 FPSO topsides before. But we also think there is an opportunity here in LNG business. So this is conventional business. And as it says here, what we're trying to grow our business going forward. These are the little acorns. I mean, rig refurbishment, although it's been a core business for us, and our take rate really has been huge in that market and continues to be huge. We have to recognize that today and where we're going to and growing to, it is a smaller component of our business. We believe our land rig services is a real opportunity going forward, and through the course of the year in H1, we certified our own design for land rigs. There are other similar businesses that we see going forward. One area is our E&C business, and you'll see if you look at the detailed numbers, our E&C business made a very good contribution in 2013. And we think through pressure vessels, through small on-site fabrication projects, we can grow that business very, very, very healthily going forward. So what are we trying to do? Well, on a sort of one-page picture, this is it. You know, we have strengthened and realigned the organization. These are the things that we control, if you like, on this side, and these are more outputs, ultimately ending in the ultimate output down at the bottom of the page here. So we've worked hard on strengthening our organization, and I think we're there now. I think we can reliably see a project performance that consistently performs the way it should. As I say, we're making the numbers on every single project we have in-house today. We have realistic project contingencies on all of these projects. We haven't used them in 2013, and as Joe said, it's allowed us at the end of these projects to improve our bottom line. But we still have reasonable contingencies in all of our projects to withstand bumps in the road going forward in 14 and beyond. We're working hard now to deliver and drive down our productivity and efficiency enhancement. And we're broadening our customer base. One of the things that Lamprell has never really done is we intend to go out and market. Anyone that goes through Aberdeen Airport shortly, instead of seeing a Shell advert up there, you may well see a Lamprell advert up there. But as we talked about, you know, when I joined this group, Lamprell has two salesmen, or had two salesmen. You know, when I look at my last business, we had approximately 200 salesmen, and I think the synergies of scales and size are not really that far apart. So what do these things deliver? Well, we clearly have improved our project scheduling. We're looking hard at our whole yard workflow, the layout, the whole process improvement. You know, we're looking as to whether we should make capital expenditure in the yard. We're looking at some of the processes that we've got in the yard. The yard continues to use stick. It's a very reliable process, welding process, but it doesn't give high deposition rates. It's not a particularly productive process. So we're looking to maximize flux cord arc welding, sub-arc welding that give much higher deposition rates and drive down the man hours per ton. Very much in line with the European yards. These are not novel techniques. They're well established. They're used in the European yards. They're used in the Korean yards. We intend to mimic that going forward. And as I say, we've set up a team to do that. We have already managed to get some procurement synergies across projects and sites, but we're looking to get some of the subcontract savings that we believe we have largely untapped at this point in time. I talked at both the H1 and last year's results about Lamprell does not have a continuous improvement project, or a process rather. There has been a reluctance to kind of measure yourself because people worry that they're going to be criticized. Well, you know, how fast do you know if you're driving if you don't have a speedometer? So we have, over the course of the year, worked very hard at introducing continuous improvement and measures. As Joe talked about, we've had a group of management KPIs. We didn't make them all, but we made a hell of a lot of them. So what we're trying to do is encourage that down through the whole organization to drive continuous improvement. And for, you know, the things that we do for 100 man hours per ton today, we'll do for 99 tomorrow and 98 and so on and so forth, and continually drive improvement. And what does that get us? Well, it gets us the best value for money. You know, Lamprell will never be the cheapest organization in the world. We have expats. The expats are there to ensure that we get safety, quality, schedule, reliability for our clients, to make sure that our clients have somebody that can honor and drive their commitments and their promises. That costs a little bit more money, but ultimately the product is delivered on time, as you could see in that very first slide on Nexen. It's ahead of schedule at this point in time. We deliver reliably, and we offer our clients best value for money. So what are our core strengths? Well, our core strengths are obviously safety. We talked about the safety and quality being world class as they stand today. We obviously have to grow our significant opportunities in our bid pipeline, grow them initially in our core markets, and then, as we've talked about, broaden them into a wider offering so that if in the future there is a reduction in jackups or offshore, we have replacement, you know, core businesses that are there to take up that slack. We're very much focused on our customers. You know, we are not a Jekyll and Hyde organization where we entice the client over the line with the A team and then show up with some also-ran team that's going to gouge them in terms of change orders. We are going to deliver the commitments we make to clients. We're looking hard at our procurement process. We've made savings there already. We're moving into labor productivity going forward. And our goal here is to deliver sustainably higher results for both our shareholders and our clients going forward. So in summary, I believe it's been an excellent year for the group. I'm 1 year into the job. I'm extremely pleased on where we are. We've significantly improved our profitability. We've driven our costs down. We've improved our project execution. We've improved our project reporting. We're now actively measuring ourselves. Some of our scores are world class. Some, unfortunately, are still kind of much closer to the Stone Age. But if we measure ourselves, then we can put in reliable, predictable improvement methods and end up with predictable results coming out. We believe there remain a number of opportunities today, a number of opportunities that in 2014 and 15 and beyond will allow us to drive down our costs and improve our margins. Our market conditions are tough. We're under no illusions, but we believe right now they're pretty favorable for Lamprell. We've identified and we're implementing a strategy that I believe will undermine or will provide the foundation for sustainable growth for this company going forward. I believe by doing all of these things, as you will see from today's presentation, we've clearly steadied the ship, and we're now well poised for real growth and development as we move forward. So that concludes the presentation. We'll now open up for questions and answers.
Hi, it's Fiona McLean from Merrill Lynch. I have two questions. Firstly, on your backlog of $900 million, can you break down how much of that is for execution this year and how much is for 2015?
The bulk of it is for this. It's for 2014. Joe probably has the exact numbers, but it's about $800 million for this year, and there's about 80 into next year. Mm-hmm. You know, typically we get, as we've talked about, we get about $150 million worth of walk-in work in any one year, and then obviously we have all these bids outstanding right this minute. As we've talked about, it depends on the type of business that gives us, Fiona, as to the impact that makes in the year. If it's a jack-up, as you know, there's about a six-month lead time before, you know, as we engineer and procure before we actually start fabrication and income recognition. If it's an offshore project, it's almost immediate. So, you know, we can still get a relatively big contribution into 14 for these projects going forward. The biggest impact, obviously, however, comes in 15.
Okay, and the second question is about your bidding pipeline on the jack-ups.
Yeah.
You've been doing the 116Es for many years. What new products are you going to have to be offering?
That's a very good question. We continuously look at the market. I mean, we are not tied to 116Es by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we can, and frankly, right now we're actually bidding a different product to another client. One of the advantages is obviously we've done all the engineering for it. So if a client wants a 350-foot structure, it means we can offer that product without having to do the engineering. So it's a cheaper solution. What we're seeing is the market right this second, we're bidding 12 jack-ups. And all of which, well, sorry, that's not true. 10 of them are 116Es. The other is a slightly different design for 400 feet of water. But we talked about this. I think every time. I mean, I've only been to two, but I'm sure that we talked about this every time. I mean, the 116E was designed in 1978, but the drillers love it. It's it's, so to speak, it's the chassis of choice. Obviously, we then outfit it with all sorts of modern handling equipment and, you know, NC-controlled equipment. But it's a product they like. I won't say it dominates everything, but it is a fairly dominant design. And drillers like it in 350 feet of water or less, which is where Lamprell really, really sits today. Gosh, that was easy. Yeah.
Perhaps you could say a little bit more about the pipeline.
Yeah.
Sandra Wizard from Liberum. Perhaps you could just say a little bit more about the bidding pipeline in terms of the sort of customers that you're bidding jack-ups to, or the offshore operators that are looking for either in North Sea fabrication work.
Yeah. My goal has always been to get to the tier one clients, the major oil companies, the major drilling companies. And we are bidding to some of these right now. We're bidding to some of the major oil companies in the world. We continue, however, to bid to what I'd call our normal core business. So there really is a, you know, if you took a selection, we in essence are bidding to everyone. You know, as I said, we've actually bid an LNG plant for the first time ever. But most of the other bids that we've got in right now are what I'd call conventional business, where we have a strong history of performing. Not that an LNG plant is any different. It's still just a structural steel frame with piping and E&I equipment inside. But I don't think there's any particular focus that we've got on any one client or any one area.
Yes, good morning. It's Alex Brooks of Canaccord. One of the themes from the Tier 1 contractors has been a shortage of high-quality module yards worldwide, and they're always complaining that they can't get them and it's not quite what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Clearly, whatever margin pressure that may be creating isn't directly rubbing off on you, but it would be useful to get your perspective on that.
No, I spent a lot of my years going to these fab yards to, and I think as long as you provide things safely, to a high standard of quality, you know, on time, you know, on budget, you're not in any way unreasonable, then the clients are interested in coming to you. And you know, the picture up there that we showed right at the start of Nexen, I mean, that's a 13,500-ton topside. It's for the North Sea. I don't think you can have a much better advert. We certainly had the Nexen partners through last week. They are absolutely delighted. In fact, you know, a couple of them have actually said if we want them to come with us to go tell clients that, you know, about our performance, they would be more than happy to do so. And I don't think you can ever get a stronger recommendation.
And just to sort of come back on the costs, talk about a 17% reduction in overhead, but a big chunk of your G&A is, I mean, with all this bidding activity, a big chunk of your G&A will be bidding, not just running costs. Can you, I mean, does that mean essentially it'll be a little bit difficult to see any further reduction in those running costs because of higher bid requirements?
No, I mean, bidding is in the overhead as it was, it's in the bidding as it is today. I mean, while we've had some big, what I'd call serious bids in the last few months, in terms of volume, we don't, you know, we haven't added any more people, as an example, and it's the people that cost us money. So we haven't added any more people to bid the jobs that we've got. They're just working a few more hours. Well,
we are adding, as Jim points out, the BD resource, so the more strategic resource. But you know, if you look at our 2013 overheads, there was quite a lot of one-off costs in there associated with all the turmoil of last year. So you know, we're starting 14 with a lower base anyway, and when we've added some key individuals, but not substantial amount. So we are still targeting a further reduction and see opportunity for that. On today's levels. And, you know, albeit that, there's been a high level of bidding activity for the whole year, really. We have quite a lot of resource allocated to that area already. We're just going to have to work a bit harder.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. It's Neil Morton at Investec. You've mentioned in the past about your desire to win sort of multi-rig contract, talking about it being a sort of breakthrough. Any sort of update on that? Secondly, can you maybe just talk about this sort of land rig certification and what sort of size of opportunity that might open up? Thank you.
Okay, I mean, two of the bids that we've got out right now are for multi-rig replacement programs. I still continue to pursue that. I think there are, and we get an amazingly positive feedback from the drilling companies that they like the idea. You know, so, you know, as we've talked about on numerous occasions, the the fleet out there is pretty old, and so lots of drilling companies are in replacement programs, and there certainly seems to be an interest. So yeah, we continue to pursue that. The design of the land rig, what we've done today is obviously we've built other people's designs, and we've seen lots of strengths and lots of weaknesses in every one of those designs. So what we did was we looked at all the best bits and tried to put them together into a rig that is much more maneuverable. It can, as they say, walk. And we decided to pursue that to a Lamprell design, which we then took and had certified by API. So we got that certification in November, and we intend to go out and market that rig.
And size of opportunity in that market?
That's a very good question. I mean, a lot of these numbers are purported numbers, but I mean, Saudi alone is looking for 70 land rigs right now, all the way around the Gulf. As I said in my comments on the market, there are more and more and more holes to be drilled to find the same amount of oil. So all of these countries are looking to extend, and we're certainly interested in participating in that.
And just finally from me, you mentioned a bid on an LNG project. If you can't name the specific project, can you at least say perhaps which region it's in?
It's a European region.
European LNG export project?
No.
Okay. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Very good. Well, I appreciate everybody coming.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much indeed.